Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Lily Bewley podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Bewley, and I'm honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about things I am currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through our emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to be healthy, be happy, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our jobs, our unhappiness. We have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls, and these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 149, I welcome Drs. Barbara and Michael Grossman to the show to chat about falling in love forever. Before we get into the show, don't forget to let me know your thoughts about this episode or anything you would like me to cover on future podcasts by dropping me a DM on Instagram. Remember, it is a safe place and I would welcome the discussion. And also a request, if you are enjoying the show, please rate and share and review so we can get the word out to more and more souls who want to heal. And now on to today's episode. For over 25 years, Drs. Michael and Barbara Grossman have taught thousands of couples practical skills to create a fulfilling romantic partnership. They have TV appearances on CBS, NBC, Fox, and CW. They deliver a powerful interview here to discover the secrets to having a fulfilling long-term romantic partnership with a genuine love that lasts forever through all the phases of life. So I'm so grateful to have Drs. Barbara and Michael Grossman on the show. I do want to say that there's a point in the show where Dr. Barbara does give her idea of what codependency is. And I am always open to new conversations about codependency. My request and also maybe intention for you for this show is to always bring you amazing guests and to have great conversations here. That's what I do. That's what I love. And I would love to open up to another definition of codependency for you. Although, meet me at the end in the outro, and I will talk a little bit more about what Dr. Barbara's definition of codependency was and how what I thought about it, and just some ideas that I was throwing around with that. So my my request of you as a beautiful listener is to listen with an open heart and open mind and take what you like and leave what you don't. And I'll see you in the outro. Dr. Barbara, Dr. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here. Nice to be.
Thank you. I was saying, we'll just start off with a bang like I always do. I was telling you a little bit about the podcast, how it originated, where it's grown from. And I was talking, Dr. Barbara, that my first episode ever in 2018 on this podcast was "What is Codependency?" And immediately you spoke up and say, "I have a take on that." So I'm going to start off with a bang and ask you, Dr. Barbara, what is your take on codependency?
Well, we went through a couple of decades where codependency was virtually a diagnosis or a label, and it made people feel really bad. In truth, it's just it's a time in life where women are, you know, they're grown up, but they haven't yet developed enough individuality. In terms of defining, you know, their purpose and goals and getting the training and feeling like they're living their purpose. They're often, since women have children, they often are involved in bonding and taking care of their families. And that kind of individual search is delayed. And so they tend to cooperate with their partners and adapt. And the society for those decades made women feel bad when it's really just a stage that's inevitable. When your kids get older, or if you don't have children, you have a different developmental journey, and you have the space to define yourself and figure out, you know, how you're made and what's important to you and how you want to express yourself and provide for people. And you get training, and you know, take care of whatever it is you need to prepare. And then you do that, and you feel confident, and you feel integrated, and you feel like an equal partner to whoever you're in relationship with. And it just changes the whole dynamic of relationship. But again, my message to women is don't feel bad about yourself. If you associate yourself with codependence, you're the nurturing, wonderful people who raise children, and bless your hearts for doing that. And it does cost you, but it's, you know, you can make up for it very soon after.
Wonderful. So what's so interesting, I think, about what you're talking about is it resonates with me a little bit, because that very first episode, when I read all of the definitions, they didn't really feel right to me. Like they felt like just not, it wasn't the experience that I was experiencing. And what I kind of intuited with codependency in myself was that it was really just a disconnect for myself. Yes. So I guess what I'd love to hear more about is, so it's codependency in your eyes, it's a developmental stage, right? Like during like a motherhood or something like that. Is there a way? And I love that too, because it's not a bad label. I love it. I love that. Is there a way to be nurturing and caring, but also find out who you are and find out your purpose?
It's hard. You have to be really good with time, and you have to be committed to yourself. You have to take yourself seriously. And I know mothers' hearts go out to their children. They want to develop their children. So you know, you have to, you have to want to pay attention to yourself and connect to yourself and know what you want. I mean, in my personal life, I had my babies young, and because, you know, you'll hear about our marriage story, probably there was a time when I wasn't sure, you know, if we were going to last. And so I pushed myself to develop myself. I put myself in situations where I had to think through what I wanted to do and get training for it. And, it cost, you know, me a lot of time with my babies. And there's no way to win. When you have two projects like that, you have to, you know, you have to be a queen of balance. And it's hard. And so my heart goes out to women, because you either, you know, do one, then another, or you do both, and you balance it somehow. But it takes time to connect with, you know, how you're made, your temperament, what's important to you, what your values are, what you want to give to society. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of thought and a lot of conversations with people and trial and error classes or trainings to figure out what fits. And it's not a small project. And, you know, men are ahead of us at that stage, because they're not breastfeeding, and they're not, you know, doing all that stuff that, you know, most men feel get there, you know, they want to be providing finances for a family. And it becomes really while some men help tremendously, it in the early years of a child's life really does fall to a mother.
Got it. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. It sounds like there is a way, and I would agree with that, about a lot about time, a lot about energy, a lot about boundaries. And it's a lot to what I'm hearing you didn't really exactly say, but it's almost like wanting a little bit better for yourself.
You got to want it. You absolutely want it. So in my situation, it's an interesting story, and we're really jumping into I went back to graduate school, and I had already had a master's, and I wasn't clear. I thought I wanted to be a college professor. That wasn't right for me. I tried that. So I was, you know, focused on figuring out what I could do, because I wasn't sure if my marriage would last. So I was really, energized to figure that out. And it turns out that when I developed myself and I was, an individual, all of a sudden, Michael was more interested in me and I had more to talk about. We became, you know, all of a sudden the doors opened up to partnership. And I wasn't just accommodating, because when you know, you're not an individual, you kind of go along with things. You're flexible. Yeah. And, you know, and then what happens if, you know, a couple of years passed and the woman wakes up to a truckload of resentments because she's gone along with things and it wasn't really what she wanted. But of course she didn't say that then because she didn't know. So it's, you know, it's complicated. Yeah. The life cycle is complicated.
Very much so. And, you know, I always just like to give people hope, you know, depending on where they are in their journey. You know, like, for example, in my development, so to speak, I had no idea, you know, if someone were to ask me, what are your needs? What are your wants? Or what are your desires? As much as I would want to like flip a switch and be able to tell them, it was just blank and numbness. And so it did take some, you know, healing and thawing out and, you know, and trying to, you know, work to figure that out. Was super important. Yeah. Well,
it's internal work for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I love about what you guys do is you work, like, obviously, like I talk about relationships here on the podcast, and you guys work to create fulfilling romantic partnerships. One of the things that I really, really loved about what you do is that you talk about it as a skill. And what's so interesting is that whenever I present this, whenever, you know, roles are reversed and I'm a guest on podcasts and I talk about relationships as a skill, it really kind of triggers people sometimes a little bit, because for me, it has been a practice for me of like, of what you're talking about, Dr. Robert, finding myself, being able to express my needs and desires, you know, finding that right person to do that with. What would you guys say to someone that maybe gets a little triggered or something like that about relationships as a skill?
Well, I would say we teach courses in relationship, both video courses that are on tape that you can watch and gain skills, and also live classes that we teach on Zoom where people can learn skills for creating a fulfilling romantic partnership. Mm-hmm. I teach three secrets to that happening. Secret number one is don't expect a smooth ride in a romantic partnership. And we discuss why you don't get a smooth ride. All the things Dr. Barber talked about, the movement that will inevitably occur in both people, but not necessarily at the same time, is that you move out of feeling like really belonging to this group to saying, hey, I need my own space here. And that's going to happen. It happens inevitably. Mm-hmm. That's secret number one. And we go into the details of that. Secret number two is, if you're not sharing without interrupting, then you're not really listening to your partner. And that is not something that you're just born with, that skill. You've got to learn it. It's like basketball or ballroom dancing. You've got to learn how to listen. We don't learn how to listen. So we teach couples how to do that. It's a real project to learn how to listen, to not try to win an argument, but rather try to understand, gee, how do you see the world that way? It's different than how I see it. Secret number two. Secret number three is, because you and your partner are changing over the years, don't expect your partner to naturally and intuitively know what it is that makes you happy. You have to tell them and you have to ask nicely. And that's a skill, how to make an appointment to talk about what would make you happy and to learn how to ask in a way that doesn't create an upset. It's another skill. Those are like three essential secrets.
I love those secrets. I love them. I love them. So don't expect a smooth ride. If you're not, I can't read my writing. If you're not listening, or if you're not talking with my, if you're not sharing without interrupting.
Yes.
You're not really listening.
Yes.
And
don't expect your partner to naturally, intuitively know what it is.
That's so good. That's so good. Man, it took me a while to get to number three.
Yes. Well, we've written our book, Ageless Love, which goes into the details of all these different things. We had an earlier book that we wrote called The Marriage Map, which also talks about it. And we have all these different stories we share personally. And it really helps people to realize that you're not alone in this problem. Mm-hmm. That relationship things that come and see Dr. Barber for counseling for their marriage. Mm-hmm. It really helps them to be in a group and realize, oh, it's not like my husband and wife is like awful human being. It's not like I'm suffering and nobody else is suffering. And this is just a quirky thing that I have to get out of. No, it's inevitable that you have these things. You didn't learn the skills.
Right.
Fall into these things.
Right. Absolutely. You didn't learn the skills. So do you guys, Dr. Barbara, do you work with like deeper level healing and deeper level trauma? Because the reason I ask this is because like number three for me, which is you can't really expect them to intuitively know what you need. That was me for so, so, so long. And what I realized, like, you know, hindsight's 2020, is that really it was like me in childhood, me at like in the crib, really kind of, yeah, wanting that nourishment and that safety and that connection. It really just that when I was in that state and relationship, it definitely transported me back to those younger years. And, you know, talking about developmental stages, obviously I grew through them and now I'm able to actually, it's a wild thing when you're able to actually say exactly what you need or that you want, or like you say, like what makes you happy. It sounds so simple, but for me, you know, it's such a process. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I know I distinguish, you know, serious trauma, EMDR type, you know, therapy trauma from this kind of ordinary trauma that we all have.
Sure.
And because we're close to our partners and, you know, we're close emotionally, we're close physically, it reenacts a lot of the childhood connections. We inevitably re-agitate old wounds from childhood. And we have a way with our couples, teach them how to share their wounds from childhood and what they need from their partner to resolve those wounds, because they're, you know, they're unresolved because, you know, our parents didn't have that commitment as, you know, as equal partners to heal our wounds. Yeah. They just, you know, look to raise us, to have us be responsible human beings that are capable of being independent. So, you know, we meet these old wounds in our marriages.
Mm-hmm. And what that looks like is that if I have wounds from childhood where my mom was very critical, mm-hmm. so I need to share with Barbara my childhood, what it was like growing up, and then to have Barbara agree that would she help me to heal these wounds, and this is what I need from her, mm-hmm. and she does that to me. So that's how we set it up in the classes, so that you understand, your partner's not just being mean to you. They just don't understand that this you're sensitive and you need mm-hmm. a different behavior.
So what we do that's real exciting, though, is we help partners identify their wounds mm-hmm. so that they can articulate them, they can recognize what the injury is, and they can find a corrective behavior they can ask their partner for.
Mm-hmm. And it is so juicy and so fulfilling when they're able to do that. I can vouch. So thank you for sharing that. May I ask you, you mentioned a little bit about your marriage story. I would love to hear, and I would also love to hear as well. You were talking about kind of a tough time probably been a few tough times in your relationship, in your marriage. What was the lessons that you learned from the toughest times that you guys have had?
Well, if my story really reinforces your focus on codependency. I was a young wife, young mother. I think we married, I was just about 21 years old, had my babies at 25 and 26. And so, and Michael was starting his, you know, doing his medical training and then starting his practice. He worked in different hospitals and so forth. And Michael had an interest in meditation and we'd go on meditation courses. And I basically followed Michael around. I was in graduate school for a while, finished a degree, but wasn't clear about my direction. So that's why I had babies. And because I was adjusting to what Michael wanted, I kind of lost myself. Mm. And part of my experience participating in Michael's interests is in experiencing how much I enjoyed them to some degree, but I had a different spirituality. I had a different, you know, ideas about what resonates with me. I actually found myself through, you know, coming up against the differences. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wasn't prepared to be a lifelong meditator in the East, and so I started to talk about going back to school, and I wasn't sure Michael would be supportive, and I wasn't sure if he'd be willing to integrate our lives. I'm definitely a Western girl, mm-hmm. and so I made a plan to go back to graduate school. I finished my degree, and I was, you know, I knew I was prepared for anything, and it turns out, you know, that. Shockingly, Michael got more interested in me. Go figure. And I think it's because when you're a self rather than a non-self, you're more interesting, you're more exciting. And I had become a non-self. I become just a, you know, adapter. And I definitely have a point of view. I'm not aggressive about it. I'm not mean about it, but I have a point of view. And we talk, we have great conversations. Michael's my best friend. We've written many books together because we share common interests, but we have different angles on them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Dr. Michael, would you share about your the biggest lesson that you've learned through the toughest times in your relationship?
So the first 10 years of our marriage, I thought was a wonderful marriage because we did whatever I wanted to do.
Wow.
And then you have to transition into this person who has changed on you. They totally became this monster who just had their own desires and said, no, I want this and I want that and all that. So that was like, how do you create a fulfilling romantic partnership with this monster that you have who is so accommodating? And so I chose to do whatever it took to make the relationship work, even though it wouldn't be what I wanted. I knew how to get enlightened through meditation. So I didn't need all this psychological stuff that Barbara was getting into. But I told him, look, I want to make this marriage work. You tell me what you think we should do to make it work. And she dragged me through all these psychological courses and classes and mentors and turned me inside out. I would never have done it. I knew everything in my head. I knew the truth of life. I knew everything. I didn't need anything more. She dragged me through it. And now I'm a different human being. Mm. Cry a lot because I'm happy, because my heart opens. It didn't do that when I was meditating. I was peaceful, but there was no heart emotion. She taught me that through all the things she dragged me through, which I would never have done.
I want to reiterate something that you said, Dr. Michael, and I want the ladies that are listening, which is mostly ladies in our audience, to hear, which is, Dr. Michael, you were meeting this kind of new side of Dr. Barbara, right? Like this new evolution, this new, new layer, beautiful layer that she was developing. And I love what you said, Dr. Michael, you chose to do whatever it took to get make the relationship work. And I just want people to hear that, because I can say that I've been through many relationships, and I don't know if someone, you know, may be listening to this and they're in that situation where we, you know, as codependents, we're kind of, you know, we can be control freaks, right? And we can try to get people to change, you know, we can try to change people, but it doesn't sound like that happened. There's such a clear vision that I have when you came to that point, Dr. Michael, and you're just like, no, I'm going to choose to make this relationship work. And that's such a beautiful thing. And I want people to sink into that, because there are men out there like that. You don't have to change anybody. You get to develop and be who you are and become your beautiful butterfly and have your own sense of self. And if that person is right for you, or if they want to make it work, they can choose to react, or they can choose to walk alongside you or whatever. So I think that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
You are welcome.
It's amazing. Okay, so I would love to kind of transition, because as I mentioned before, Dr. Michael, you specialize in aging, and this is the first time I've had an aging specialist here on the podcast, and I know people are going to love what you have to say. What's the most important factor in longevity after the age of 50?
The quality of your personal relationships. That's
He did it. He went there, y'all.
That's the research. So that is definitely the most important factor. And after that, what we can say, what I spend most of my time doing with ladies is, after they go into menopause, or while they're in menopause, they have a lot of problems that are just inevitable. Mood, not sleeping, brain not working well, muscles not working like they used to, libido not functioning properly, sexual problems come up all the time. And these are all correctable with natural bioidentical hormones. You live longer and healthier than if you do nothing. Synthetic hormones, you die earlier from cancer and heart disease compared to those who do nothing. You want to use natural bioidentical hormones. That changes your whole experience of aging. It does not negate the fact that you need to have a quality personal romantic partnership. That is fundamental. But to keep that going, you need to have the proper hormones to make it work over time because you lose that interest. And
you're cranky.
Yeah, yeah. So that's very important. You want to do both those kinds of things. And I do a lot, spend a lot of my time on keeping men and women young. For men, it doesn't happen so quickly. It's very slow. For women, period of 6 months to 2 years, their transition. For men, every 10 years, after the age of 40, their testosterone goes down and down. By the time they're 60, they feel like they're old. But for women, it's very quick.
Got it. So it's the quality of the relationships. And did you say it has to be romantic relationships, or can it be just really quality relationships in general?
For women, it could be quality relationships in general. For men, it's a romantic partnership.
Why don't you mention the Harvard study?
Men don't have quality personal relationships outside of marriage or outside of romantic partnership. Women do. You can talk about that study.
Right. Well, there's an 80-year-old study from Harvard. Started in John F. Kennedy's generation at Harvard. He's part of the study, actually. And it included Harvard students, and it extended to the Boston suburbs around it, and the inner city. So it was a diverse population. Mm-hmm. And they studied the medical reports every year. They interviewed the man, they interviewed the family, and they coordinated all the information. And they found that the men who were the healthiest and lived the longest were men who had committed relationships that were functioning well, and romantic partnerships. And it's a pretty amazing research. Who would have thought? But that's what the research says. George Valiant has written about 5 books about the study, because who does an 80-year study? This is pretty remarkable.
Awesome. Yeah, I would love the link to that, so I can link that in the show notes for sure. I'm sure you have it. So for women, it's not so much about romance.
Women know how to make personal relationships. Mm-hmm. Women can talk with their friends deeply and share emotionally, and they have very deep friendships. Men have more superficial friendships. Mm-hmm. They're committed to helping them if you need some money, or you need some finances, or you need a car, or you need help with this or that. But men don't sit and talk about their emotions with other men. Mm-hmm. They don't do that.
Not yet. I'm hoping there's a revolution starting personally, Dr. Michael.
By the way, when you get older, it's possible for men to do that. They can learn. But for men, that's not common.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's what's in it for a man to be in relationship with a woman. He'll develop his right hemisphere. Because that relationship stretch the right hemisphere for a man, and a man stretches the left hemisphere for women. We women have to get calm and rational about our feelings. We can't just be drama queens. We have to learn how to share and be reflective. A man can hear that. A man can't hear all the stuff we do. We could talk to our girlfriends like that, but not.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I get that for sure. So I'm assuming that the prescription, Dr. Michael, that you would have for somebody about maintaining youthfulness would be, and if it's a woman, would be fulfilling relationships, correct?
And it's fundamental. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But as a physician, that's not something that people come to me to get. They come to me to get the hormones and to do whatever it takes to feel youthful. Mm-hmm. Dr. Barbara gets their relationship working, and if they take our classes and courses, then we can do this.
Quite a team.
There's a lot of things. I mean, you can talk about how you help people. You want to be an act. You want to have an active life as long as you can, so that you can enjoy your relationship. You need to have your body working. Michael and I are ballroom dancers, and so there's a lot of natural ways in which Michael keeps us both youthful and able to compete. We go all over the country competing in ballroom.
And what we can say is that couples who have regular sex twice a week or more live longer than couples who have sex once a week or less.
Okay.
So having sexual contact is part of a fulfilling romantic partnership. And that creates longevity too. So there's a whole package that you want. It's not just one little piece of it.
Yeah. And I definitely have to have the plug that Dr. Barber said earlier, which is like healthy, healthy relationship, y'all. And so I just had to plug that in there too. Well, this is an amazing conversation. You guys are amazing. Like I said, I know you guys are a great team. Is there anything that we missed that's important about what you do that we didn't cover?
So no, I think I want to make sure that people know that they can reach us through agelesslovequiz.com, where they can take a little quiz, which will point them into the right direction to what kind of challenges they can do so they can take one of our online courses, which are very practical and very intense to actually give them those skills that they need. They can go to agelesslovebook.com, which is they can get some free chapters of our book and begin to see a big picture of what we talk about in the book. And then if they want to reach me, they can go to ocwellness.com and see what I do to keep them youthful and so forth, ocwellness.com. So that's just it. I mean, there's so many things to do to be healthy sexually at your age, so many things to do to feel vibrant throughout your life. And whatever you can do naturally through natural things. I'm not a big fan of most of the prescription medicine. Some of them are okay, but I'd say 90% of them I'm not happy about because they have too many negative effects.
Agreed.
So that's what I do, a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will link all that in the show notes. So in case anyone wants to do the quiz or like initial evaluation with you, I'm sure that they can get in touch with you then. And what about you, Dr. Barbara?
I express myself in our books and our courses. I have a private practice, but that's, you know, I'm not here today to promote my private practice.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
I want to encourage your audience to, if they feel like they're frustrated, they're up against a wall, there is a way through it. It's time to grow. If you feel stuck, it's because you need to grow.
I support that statement so much. Please grow. It's for the best of you and humanity.
Everybody else.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for this time. I really, really appreciate you too. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
Y'all, welcome to the outro. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Drs. Barbara and Michael Grossman. There were some really, really juicy things in this episode. And I love that longevity is about the people that we have around us. I think we know that, but I don't think that we invest enough in ourselves. I'm saying this for me, this is definitely a turning point for me. I don't think that we invest enough in doing what we need to do the healing work that we need to do, to create the skills that we need to do to have those really amazing people that really extend our life instead of lessen our lifespan. And I also wanted to talk about this idea that Dr. Barbara put in place. She, you know, full transparency, before we recorded this episode, she said that she had a pretty disruptive idea about codependency. And it was true. I didn't go through what that was. I kind of just waited until our live recording. And I do think that, you know, what she was talking about motherhood and codependency was pretty disruptive. It was disruptive for me. Absolutely. And I'm not a mother yet. My business really is my child at this point. And, so I don't know what it's like to kind of lose yourself in protecting your family or in, you know, being that true motherhood role. And so I say this without not having experience in that. And that is very different for me because all I do is share my experience here on the podcast. So I'm super curious, is
how, you know, what's your feedback about that? I, you know, from the get-go, from episode one in 2018, I started talking here about codependency and about, you know, what it really, really came down to for me was a disconnection from myself. And it has to be a very intense balancing act, you know, if you're a caregiver or you're a mother, of being protective of your family and your children and being invested in them, but also investing in yourself. But I also have clients. I have clients who have children, a lot of clients that have children and have that caretaker role, but then have also gone off the deep end of self-sacrificing, self-abandonment, quote unquote, self-sabotage, and losing themselves in this role that is an amazing role, but that self-abandonment and self-sacrifice have really led them to a place of hurt, really, and pain, frustration, and confusion when it comes to love and maybe choosing the right people. So I hope you kept an open mind through this episode. I really did. And I, you know, it's an interesting perspective as I move into hopefully motherhood at some point. It's something for me to think about and what an intense balancing act it is. And shout out to all my clients too, who are in this balancing act and putting themselves first by doing the work. And then also trying to figure out, you know, who they are outside of this caretaking role. So I see you, I hear you, I love you. If you are new to the show, a couple things. Number one is don't forget to take the feminine dating archetype quiz. I put the link in the show notes to reveal your blocks to love and find your true love match. Also, if you want to support the show in any way, I absolutely would love that. You can support the show with 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. You can go to the link in the show notes. And really, that helps me with production costs. It helps me with the time and the energy that I spend. And I love my coffee. So if you want to buy me coffee, I would gratefully receive that. So thank you in advance. And then also don't forget that Dating You, the School for Magnetic Relationships, is open. I have two programs open right now. One is called Enough and one is called Dating You. If you are not sure which one is best for you, if you want to connect with me in any way, you can click the link in the show notes for your complimentary love audit where we can connect and we can chat about what's going on. Yeah, a super connecting call where I really just want to connect with my community. That's the thing that lights me up. And if you'd like to connect and talk more about your love life, see how I might be able to help as well, you can click the show notes for a complimentary love audit. And don't forget, you are loved and you are supported and you are perfect as you are. You have been through so much stuff at this point in your life. And you're only getting stronger. So I really just want to encourage you to keep going, keep doing your healing, keep putting yourself first, keep connecting to God, the universe creator, and reach out for support if you need it. We can't do this alone, y'all. And that's why I'm here. I love you. I'll see you next time.